Welcome to Radio Mojo Plus, brought to you by Pyology Pizzeria and by Southern Glaciers Wines and Spirits, proud supporters of the food and beverage industry in Hawaii.
Good morning and welcome to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Jo McGarry, plus Bobby Curran, here to bring you the best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii. And lots of sports thrown in. I can't even say a little bit of sports thrown in anymore because it's becoming more and more and more. I just heard you were talking about Chingfield and spring football, and I was like, spring football? What?
Today,
seriously?
First day of practice.
That's always a super exciting day. Is it as exciting like today?
Well, I think especially this year because there wasn't any spring last year. It was really tough for a new staff not to have any spring.
Anything, yeah. So this is, it's been 2 years since people have been able to find out what's going on. Although they can't go, right? It's not like you
right,
can go.
And even for those of us who are sort of in the business, it's really tough because you're dying to go see spring practice to know what's going on and all that, and that's not open yet. So,
is it possible that they will? Because you can stand far apart. You can be apart from everybody. Is there any way of knowing?
I'm just not hearing any momentum towards getting fans, even though the Big West has just come out. That's not the Mountain West, but the Big West, where all, most of the other teams are. No one has said yet that there's any possibility of having Hawaii people at any of the games. I'm hoping that is revisited so shortly.
Because last week we were kind of, you know, excited because it just, we just told everyone that you could, that baseball was going to open up, or we thought baseball was.
Well, I don't know if that, see, baseball, the problem with baseball, some people are saying, oh, they can't because the restrooms are all under repair. But I'm like, really? You couldn't put porta potties up on the concourse level? I mean, it's not ideal, but if you wanted to get fans in, I think where there's a will, there's a way.
Where there's a will, there's a way. Yeah, right. So hopefully, maybe the same for spring practice too. But all of that just is exciting because it means things are moving forward and you can start looking forward to games again. And
yeah, and I think it's overwhelmingly likely that there'll be able to be fans at football games this fall.
Wow, that would be
so nice.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And different.
Yeah, for sure. We can talk more about sports, too, obviously, because it's still, you know, very exciting time in sports. But I wanted to share with everybody. So we, when the pandemic started and everyone started getting takeout all the time, which was wonderful, and supporting local restaurants, it was easier to go into Waikiki and support restaurants in Waikiki, right? Because you could just drive in, no traffic, no people. It was great. And one of the restaurants that we discovered and we're so happy to share with everybody, and all the people we shared it with love it too, was Basalt in Waikiki. And we were really lucky this weekend because we had a few hours free and we ventured into what we thought was a relatively quiet Waikiki, which turned out to be like 30,000 people on Kalakaua Avenue.
It's crazy.
That was really astonishing, wasn't it?
Really was, yeah.
I think if people haven't yet been into Waikiki for... And I do think this weekend was special. I think this weekend was the, like on the Saturday, there was 38,000 tourists arrive, which was a massive number compared to what's been in. But who knew that they would all be in Waikiki or all checking into Hilton Hawaiian Village all at the same time? So it was an extraordinary experience to go from thinking of a very quiet, leisurely drive into Waikiki to being literally in the middle of it was like, it seemed like mayhem on Kalakaua Avenue. There's so many people there.
It really did. I was of two minds about that. You're really hoping we don't get super spreader situations. But on the other hand, it's sort of like, okay, this is like back to the future.
Yeah.
You hope. I mean, where it's going to be that hopefully will become the commonplace.
Right. And everybody appeared to be masked for the most part. And that was really encouraging. But the great thing was that all the restaurants were full, all the restaurants were booked. And this is kind of a funny story that I'll share with you, but I had called Basalt. I had gone online just to check out a lot of restaurants and see how they were doing. And I came to the conclusion, this was before I realized Waikiki was full of people, I came to the conclusion that all the websites for taking orders were down because you couldn't make a reservation in any of the restaurants. So I did something I don't usually do, and you will know this is true. I never like call a restaurant or a chef and say, I'd like to come in for dinner, right? I just do it the normal way that everybody does on the website or whatever. But I texted the chef and I said, I think the website's down because I can't make a reservation. And I've been trying for 2 days and it must be broken. And he very kindly, Keith Kong, who's the executive chef, said, that's no problem. Of course, you can have a reservation at 7 o'clock or whatever. And it was only when we got there, I realized, oh my gosh, of course the websites weren't broken. The place is absolutely packed with people, lines out the door. Hour-long waits at the restaurant. So it was really, really wonderful to see, after all this time, restaurants jumping back up to speed and getting into it. We just hope now that they can have enough room to start making some money.
Yep. I mean, I think that's the deal. So many of the people that you, I know from hearing your stories, that so many of the businesses were on absolute the edge of whether they're going to be able to survive. And I'm wondering if that gave people the confidence to think, you know what, we can do this. Hopefully that weekend gave them the impetus.
And it's not just in Waikiki. I'm really happy to say, and I hope people find this interesting, but I think they probably will, because I would love to know what was going on in and around the state. And the best way to see it and the best way to share with it is when you're actually right there. So, of course, I spend a lot of time in restaurants and with restaurant people. And it's not just happening in Waikiki. From last weekend, there are tourists all over Oahu again. Kaimuki is bustling. Even in Hawaii Kai, which was becoming a very sleepy little shopping center with just neighborhood people, all of the water sports for the past week have been 100% full. So tourists are coming in. They're getting their day of water sports or diving or whatever. Everyone's back. Because the water sports are busy, that means those people get off the boats. They go into the little restaurants. You know, they pick up their L&L barbecue or whatever it is. And it's just a wheel that is going to keep on turning. And I hope that this is the beginning of it, because we really need it, and the restaurants really need it, and they really deserve it.
No question about it. It's so time.
Yeah, it's so time. So today we're going to talk about all this ongoing, wonderful kind of energy of new restaurants that are opening up in Waikiki, all over Oahu. I mean, there are people who are opening up regardless. They're just saying, we know we're going to do well. We're going to talk to Thomas Obungan from Frolic Hawaii and, of course, wonderful Slug Media, where they do great work. And we're going to chat with him about some of his sort of new favorites and new finds, because literally since January, there have just been restaurants popping up, it seems like, almost every week. I know from my experience, there are dozens of people out looking to open new restaurants, and they're all new concepts. It's not someone saying, oh, we're doing really well with this, so we're going to open another one. It's everybody looking for something new, something bigger. So we're going to talk with Thomas in a little bit about what he's finding out and about on the streets as he goes out and eats his way through his wonderfully exciting life. And we are also going to talk to someone who just opened. So, you know, we talk a lot about the restaurants that are opening, but we're going to talk to one of the co-owners of Purvey Donuts, the donut shop that has just opened over at Kuono Marketplace, which is right opposite Kahala Mall, where that big new Foodland, or kind of small for Foodland standards, store opened. And they opened, Brian and his partner Nick, opened their second donut shop. They started this process right at the beginning of the pandemic. They carried on all the way through. They did their build out. They got their lease done. They ordered their equipment. They just kept on going in blind faith, really, that things would be fine. And they have opened quietly. They opened last week. And their store is gorgeous. It's a donut lover dream kind of a store, because it's a bit theatrical and a bit magical with lovely illustrations. And then, of course, dozens of wacky donuts. So we're going to talk to Brian in just a little bit, too, about the opening of Purvey, which I'm really excited to see. And I was very happy to be able to have helped them find their perfect spot. So if you're in that Kahala area and you're looking for a donut, I don't think you've had any of these donuts, because, I mean, obviously donuts are not a thing that you eat a lot of, but these are actually perfect for you because they're about this size. No one can see me holding up my hand, obviously, but they're small. Really small, and they're very different And they're very whimsical and very fun. So if you want to buy a box of a dozen donuts to make people smile, this is the place to go. So we're going to talk to those two guys, and we will talk to you if you like. It's been a while since we had enough time to have phone calls, but if there's anything you want to chat to us about, 296-1420 is the number to call, and we would love to talk to you. I think, shall we go for a really short break right now? And then we'll call Thomas. How about that? Okay, let's do that. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu, 92.7 FM and 1420 AM.
Hey, welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. I hope all is well with you on this wonderful Thursday morning. I'm Joe McGarry. We do this every Thursday. We bring you the best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii. Bobby Curran joins us to chat about sports. And food as well, of course. And if you want to know more about what we do when we're not doing this, when we're doing our restaurant work, then please go and check out our website, mojomcgarry.com, or our podcast site, radiomojohawaii.com, which we got help designing from Thomas at Slug Media, I have to say. Thomas is joining us right now, Thomas Obungan from Frolic Hawaii and Slug Media, and he is always out and about finding really good new things to eat. Thomas, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing really well today, thank you. It's so exciting out there. There's so much happening. You can really feel it, can't you, Thomas, in the restaurants and the people who are out eating. It really feels like we're back.
It is. It's a complete 180 from last year around the same time with all the worries. So I think everyone's excited to get out, and I'm especially excited of all the new stuff that's coming up.
No kidding. There's so much. I actually wonder if there would be as much new stuff if we hadn't had, you know, the contrast of having such a dark and desperate, you know, period. I sometimes think that new and creative ideas come out of that more than they would have. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. I'm seeing a lot of restaurant owners who are opening new restaurants, but they want to do it differently. They want to make things slightly different. Obviously, they want to have more takeout and delivery and curbside and pickup and eating outdoors. But they also want to change their menu. And I don't think that would have happened if it hadn't been for the changes in the pandemic. What do you think?
I totally agree. Totally agree.
So how about, I know last time we talked about a couple of really very special restaurants that you just were in love with. And what have you got this week?
Well, this week I kind of revisited a longtime favorite of mine called O'Kim's in Chinatown, right on New Wanu Avenue. And each month she comes out with a number of specials, like monthly specials, in addition to her regular menu. And O'Kim's is they label themselves as a contemporary Korean kitchen. So she, O'Kim Hyun, is from Busan, South Korea, but she's went to school here at KCC, got her culinary degree and everything, cooked with a bunch of other chefs, but finally opened her own restaurant, I think like close to four or five years ago in Chinatown. And then she kind of blends a really cool Korean, like Korean classic dishes with modern, contemporary, new American style things and other cultures too. So one special that she just released for March is a kimchi paella. And I can't escape my mind. I love it so much. It's basically like kimchi fried rice meets Spanish paella, and it's really, really good. It's full of seafood, basically in a cast iron skillet. She's got Korean barley rice with her own kimchi juices, and she makes it like they do in Spain with paella. And basically, it forms a really crispy crust on the bottom, but on top, it's still pretty moist. And there's seafood, so she's got, like, mussels and clams and amaebi shrimp on top with chorizo sausage balls. And let me tell you, it's definitely more than enough for one person, but I didn't want to share mine.
And you're still thinking about it, like, you know, way after the first time you ate it. You know, some dishes, let me put it this way. You can be in dangerous territory trying to fuse cultures in the kitchen, I think. People are very enthusiastic about fusion food, and they're like, oh, yes, they do, you know, Japanese and Italian, and it's awesome. Well, sometimes it's actually horrible if you don't do it. I think, of course, the opinions are all only my own, Thomas.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work, and the original of a dish is the original dish for a reason. It's really good. But I can hear and I can see and I can almost taste how this would be a perfect fusion because of the rice. Because Korean food, apart from their incredible spices, but the ability of Korean cooks to work with rice in a different way to get it to that incredible sort of, you know, the texture changes where you can get a crispy rice like you do in Peru, for example. Do you agree? Yeah. Do you think that's what makes that dish work?
I think so. And I think because in Spain, like, that's the one of the best parts of the paella is the crust that forms on the bottom. And in Korea, they have a similar delicacy called nurungji. And it's basically the when they cook rice at the bottom of the pot, it's become kind of scorched. It has that same quality to it. And so those kind of mesh together with the flavors of, there's also saffron in this paella, which kind of makes it a paella. So the flavors are definitely there, but the textures are just amazing.
And then you just go over the top by adding the kimchi, of course.
Oh yeah. And I love, I think she makes one of the best kimchi's out there. She does sell it in little tubs as well, but whenever you get it with the meal, I'm like, I kapu that. That's mine.
No, she is very talented. And we'll let people know, because I know there's people driving in their car right now, very frustrated because they're like, where is she? Where are they talking about? So she's on Nu'uanu Avenue as you go down on the right-hand side. If you're headed down to the bottom by Murphy's, O'Kim's is on the right-hand side, a block up from Murphy's. And if I'm remembering correctly, don't they have that nice little outside garden area too?
You're absolutely right. So they last month, they had reopened for outdoor dining. So she used to have both indoor and outdoor dining, but right now it's just outdoor. And it's also BYOB. So there's that too.
It's perfect. It really is fabulous. Now, is she on social media? I know sometimes some of the owner-operated restaurants are so busy just running their restaurant, they're not hugely active on social media, but can we find O'Kim's?
Absolutely. She's really active on Instagram. I believe if you just search O'Kim's Honolulu, it will pop up. She posts there pretty regularly, and I believe it's her that responds really fast. So she's awesome.
Awesome. Do you have any other dishes there? Like, I know that there are people listening right now, Thomas, who are going to be headed there tonight or this weekend. Do you have anything else that you would highly recommend a first-time visitor would order?
Sure. So she's actually has on her regular menu, my favorite dish is the Korean fried chicken. So she does it with boneless pieces of chicken, but they're coated in a sweet, spicy sauce, very Korean style, and she serves it with purple rice and her kimchi. And she's also really well known for having vegan options. So she has like a few items that are plant-based, but still extremely flavorful, like mushroom japchae, so the glass noodles with all different types of mushrooms mixed in. Really, really savory and really comforting.
Wow, that sounds awesome. And I'm so glad that she's been able to open up outside, because that's a perfect little place to go and feel, you know, relaxed and have fun and very safe at the same time. Awesome. O'Kim's, yep. You can find her at O'Kim's Honolulu if you go to Instagram, and you'll see a selection of some truly outstandingly gorgeous food. Korean food is very, like, sexy right now, isn't it? I mean, you look at the New York Times on a Sunday, and at least two or three recipes are Korean-influenced in the last, you know, 6 months or so. I think it's really finding its groove.
Yes, I think so, too. And I think a lot of Korean chefs are making a name for themselves, especially in, and I think New York is leading with that, especially in 2019 and a year before. But yeah, I think that it's an
We're
amazing
so lucky.
Cuisine that should get its spotlight.
I know, truly it is. And I love how in Hawaii we're so lucky, because we take all these sort of different cuisines for granted, and we just are able to walk into mom and pop stores of so many different ethnicities and enjoy what they do really well. And I think sometimes, you know, you look nationally and people are just picking up on a certain dish and you're like, oh, we've been eating that for years. So interesting. So we're talking with Thomas Obungan of Frolic Hawaii and, of course, of wonderful Slug Media. If you need help with any of your social media, or if you need a website done, or if you need help with starting up your restaurant with marketing, then Thomas is your guy. You can find them at Slug Media. Thomas, I know that Restaurant Week is coming up, and again, this is another kind of milestone, because last year there was none. Well, it was kind of an online Restaurant Week. It was very weird. So what's happening with that, with the Food-A-Go-Go?
Yeah, so Food-A-Go-Go is a website that was created by the Hawaii Ag Foundation, and kind of a resource for restaurants and people to find where takeout and restaurants were open and closed during and now through the pandemic. And they're starting their first restaurant week. It's from April 5th through the 12th. And it looks like they've got quite a handful of restaurants that have signed up for it. And they're going to be doing different specials during that week. And so you can find these specials on foodagogo.org. That's foodagogo.org. And, yeah, they have really good deals, I think, that are really encouraging people to come in and support restaurants.
So typically with Restaurant Week, so National Restaurant Week, which is usually later in the year, but this is the same kind of idea. Typically with Restaurant Week, you can go into a restaurant. They will have a special menu. Usually it's a set menu or two or three courses. And they're, in this case, I'm sure they're featuring local produce. That's going to be a huge part of it. But it's always at a reduced price. It's always like their signature dish or a specially created menu that you can try at a reduced price. They don't always do them like in hundreds, so sometimes it's a limited supply, so it's very well worth going online and finding out if you book or make a reservation. But I actually think it's just a lovely way to try new restaurants, Thomas. When it's Restaurant Week, the best thing to do is go and eat in restaurants you haven't eaten in before, because you're going to get this nice discount, and the chefs are putting out dishes that really tell a story of who they are.
Definitely, and I think that it isn't really focused on one specific thing, but these deals usually involve multiple courses or types of cuisines that they cook, so they kind of package them all together, so you get a good picture of that restaurant. So, yeah, I think it is a great opportunity.
It's a fun opportunity. So is there anywhere right now that you are absolutely just eager to go to that you have not yet tried? We're always asking you about where have you been. I'm interested this week to say, where are you going? What's on your radar?
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. Let's see.
There's so many, isn't there?
There's so many to choose from. And you know what? It's funny, because we get asked, like, as food writers, we get asked, like, oh, where are you going? And it's like, wherever the market kind of dictates where people want us to go. I never get to really eat what I want to eat. And I think it's like one of those things where I'm always looking out for our readers and what the general public wants to eat.
That's very true, isn't it, actually? As a food writer, you're always out writing about what you think everybody wants to read about and where they want to go. But you couldn't just keep going to your favorite restaurants and writing about them all the time, because that's just what you want to do.
I'd probably just go to, like, an Okazuya every day. That would probably be my everyday kind of food.
Well, you have lots to choose from where you live within walking distance, so you're in very good shape. Thomas, it's always really good fun to catch up with you. I absolutely love it. Is there anything that we forgot to chat about? Is there anyone else you wanted to give a mention to this morning?
MW Restaurant. We might have touched upon Artisan last time that we spoke, but MW Restaurant, Michelle and Wade have finally released the date that they're opening on April 6th, which is a Tuesday, on the second floor of the Velocity showroom car dealership. So we just had a dinner preview a couple nights ago, and I left rolling out of there. It was absolutely amazing.
Well, first of all, they're such a great couple. They have such a great team. They have an awesome menu. Is this different from the MW of old, or is it just MW in a beautiful new location?
Yeah, so what's cool about this is that if you really enjoyed MW as they were pre-pandemic and during the shutdowns and stuff, you can still enjoy that at Artisan and downstairs at their more casual cafe. So that style of menu is what's going to be set downstairs. But upstairs on the second floor, they're elevating things a little bit more. And they're bringing back a lot of their classic and very popular dishes, like the mochi crusted kampachi and the short rib with the truffle yaki sauce. Like, those types of things are going to be elevated more at MW. So instead of being served on the somen noodles, the mochi crusted kampachi will be served with kohlrabi, which is kind of like a root vegetable turnip thing. And he kind of, Wade has kind of turned them into noodles themselves, and they're really crunchy. So it gives a new texture and dynamic to the dish. And of course, Michelle's desserts, she's going to be bringing back her famous shave ice creations. Right now, the one that's going to kick everything off is a strawberry and cherry blossom scented shave ice with all types of goodies inside. Yeah.
She is so talented. A lot of people think of them together as the creators of MW, which is an awesome restaurant. But as an individual pastry chef, she is just of the highest caliber. I mean, and what goes along with it, which always makes me, I don't know, I sometimes think it elevates her even higher, but she's the humblest chef you could ever meet.
Really?
She's so, and it's true humble. She's not humble brag. She's truly, truly humble. And it just, I don't know, I'm just more in awe of her every time I speak to her because of that. Her creativity is just boundless, it seems. And from such a tiny, quiet, you know, little person, it's really amazing.
I know. But what, I mean, once you get her going, talking about her, the inspiration of, like, her cookies or a shave ice, she can go on about it. And you're like, wow, I wish I had that childhood that I could really reach back and get a real feeling from a dessert like that and recreate it for something for grown-ups, you know?
I know. I think she's inspiring, I think, because she doesn't put a lot of energy into talking about, like, you know, nonsense or bragging or gossiping. All her energy is just going into, how can I bring that incredible flavor I had when I was 7 into 2021?
Maybe there's a lesson.
There's a lesson for us all in Michelle. So that's cool. So it sounds like MW, when they open in just 2 weeks, are going to have the opportunity to be more back to their kind of very fine dining backgrounds and very creative, and also keep that casual aspect as well. I can't see that anything being anything but super successful. and in a really easy to get to location as well. So it seems like that one's going to be a winner right off the bat, would you say?
Absolutely. 100% agree.
Okay. Thank you so much. It's been lovely chatting with you, Thomas. That was fun. We'll talk to you again in April.
Yes. Thanks, Joe. Take care.
Take care. Thomas Obangan, he is associate editor at Frolic Hawaii. He is also the co-owner of Slug Media. You can go and check them out all over social media and, of course, on their websites. And if you do need help with getting a website up and running, if you need help with social media for your restaurants particularly, or if you're just starting up and you need help with somebody who can really create a great initial package for you with your restaurants, Thomas is your guy because they really do wonderful work. All right, we are going to go and take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus.
This is Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu.
Hello, welcome back to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Joe McGarry plus Bobby Curran. We are talking the best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii. And, of course, that always includes sports. So it's I really understand that this is a very exciting, the most exciting time in sports. And we're, like, bang in the middle of course, the madness of March.
Yeah.
It was, even I know that it was staggeringly upsetting on the first few
days.
There
was a ton of upsets. And there's a lot of teams you wouldn't expect that are still alive in the Sweet 16.
Now, is that good or is that bad?
Well, I enjoy it. Some people don't. I remember Colin Cowherd famously saying he doesn't like it when there's upsets. He wants to see Kentucky and Duke and North Carolina and, you know, the big time, mm-hmm. the big guys. Kansas. Well, Kansas lost last week and, you know, Duke wasn't even in the darn thing. North Carolina lost the first weekend. So I love it when you get at least a smattering of these upsets, and we've got a ton of them, and it's been really fun.
Has there ever been a tournament with this many upsets?
I mean, no, this is the record.
Yeah, you know how I know, because I've never before heard, like, so many exclamations from you, you know, as I'm, like, passing through the TV
right.
room or whatever, of, oh, my gosh, or, oh, my, I can't believe it, or whatever. It's really extraordinary that it just kept happening.
Well, I'll just give you a couple of names. Abilene Christian.
Well known.
Right, you might never. You don't even know where Abilene Christian is, I'm
sure. I don't even know what it is.
Right, well, it's a college.
It sounds like a seafood dish.
So, anyway, right,
Abilene Christian.
But, I mean, there's other ones that you wouldn't expect. North Texas is not a team that just resonates. You know, you think, who the heck is that? Oral Roberts.
I have heard of them, though.
Right. But I'm just saying, there's a bunch of Loyola Chicago, mm-hmm. which was in the Final Four a few years ago, and now, a couple of years ago, and now they have a chance to go back. I mean, who would think? It's great.
So it's really different for a lot of reasons. Also, too, because, sadly, the dreaded thing happened where somebody did contract COVID-19, and one whole team just got sent away. That's
so sad. Yeah, VCU wasn't able to play, so They had a positive. They couldn't play. It was too late. They didn't have a refill a person. There was, if it had happened before the first Tuesday, they had a plan, but this happened after that, so they just advanced Oregon into the next round. You know, so it's horrible. No one really wants it. It just happened to Notre Dame hockey this morning.
Same thing.
Notre Dame hockey was in the, you know, the tournament, and they had to withdraw, and Boston College now advances.
So with the NCAA tournaments, with the whole madness thing, which is even madder, I'm sure some people are madder than ever, is it messed up everyone's brackets, or is everyone's...
God. Well, that's why I
think... So does anyone, could they possibly have the winner, or is it, I mean...
This may be the most popular I've ever seen, these second-chance brackets. We're having one at the station.
Right. Oh.
They have a second-chance bracket. It's like, okay, your bracket's a mess. Now you get a chance to go in on the second-chance bracket.
Oh, that's very cool. So you really do have the chance to do the bracket all over again.
With what's left, with the teams that are remaining. Yeah, it's kind of a fun thing. You have an extra chance to win, and everybody needs it this time because there were so many upsets that I don't hardly know anybody whose brackets weren't shredded wheat.
You said to me that there's a particular kind of individual who, because I was saying, well, why wouldn't people just pick upsets to try and win a lot of money? And you said, because if you picked one upset, you'd have to have all upsets all the way through, and you couldn't do that. But this seems like it's almost as close as it could have gotten.
Well, the problem is, if you're wrong on an upset, So you pick somebody that, you know, well, then the team that you didn't pick, you know, who was the favorite, mm-hmm. might go all on and on and on and on. So you're just a loser in every row from then on.
That must be a most amazing, interestingly, math challenge for people who love to do how many permutations, how many variations of a winning could you have?
Which is
that
why,
must be one of the most fascinating ones.
Which is why I hate people, the tournaments that or contests that allow unlimited brackets, because you start to get these quants who just want to put in, you know, an amazing...
Like an algorithm to try.
They want to spend hours and hours and hours putting in, you know, 40, 50, 60 brackets. Well, I'm like, well, what is that?
That's got nothing to do with what they feel about the team, has it?
No, exactly. That sort of, it defeats the purpose, I think.
It's sort of a national pastime in a way, isn't it, among sports fans?
Well, I think doing a bracket or a pair of brackets, that, you know, that's okay. I have one, you know, I play a friend every year for lunch. Mm-hmm. Kind of. I mean, it's like a tradition.
Sure.
And those kind of things are fun. By the way, I won that one already.
Good. Yeah. Oh, it's good to get that in, that you won. No, I think it's really interesting this year. And for me, like for someone like me who's a very casual observer of all sports, like I really see the value in them and very much appreciate them. But, you know, I observe them from the sidelines. This year, I can tell there's been just so much of a commotion about it. And you can take it into sort of deeper levels of, you know, how people react to wins and losses and even for the teams themselves. But I feel really so happy when I see the underdogs rising through the ranks. I mean, there must be some families and some kids right now. This is their dream come true.
Well, I mean, even there's a one team, Loyola of Chicago, got very popular a couple of years ago. You may have heard of the nun, Sister
Jean. Yes, yeah.
Okay, she's still with us. She's 101. And she is still right there. You can see her right on the side of the court. She's still cheering for the team, and they're doing really good again this year.
Well, see, that's what keeps her going. They always say if you have a passion, if you have a love, it will keep you going. That obviously works for her.
Well, apparently, sure. But, I mean, it's gotten to the point where she's sort of a national treasure, sort of. I mean,
so
you know,
funny.
I mean, people, even people who have, you know, who hate the church, sort of
right.
like Sister Jean.
See, it's very interesting this year from the sidelines. There's all sorts going on. In just a couple of moments, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Radio Mojo Plus. I'm Joe McGarry along with Bobby Curran. We do this every Thursday morning. We bring you the best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii. We are going to hopefully be chatting with one of the owners of the new donut shop, Purvey, which is just opened up at Kahala Marketplace. And we're hoping that we can get him. I'm just sending a very quick text while I'm talking, which, as you know, is quite hard to do, to let them know that he's not picking up his phone. But then he did. There you go. That was an instant manifestation from my text. I'm just really happy to see this donut shop open, Purvey, which is at Kona Marketplace, because this is, to me, this is the first restaurant that has gone from beginning all the way through opening, all during the pandemic. And so we're going to chat with one of the co-owners. Brion Sablan is joining us right now. Brion, are you there?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
We're doing really well, and thank you for joining us, because I know you guys are extremely busy now as the owners of two donut shops. Brion, I was just telling everyone this morning that one of the reasons I'm so delighted to see you open is you guys literally went through the pandemic. Like you started, you had the idea for your second shop. You didn't even have a lease when we went into lockdown, but you carried on all the way through, and you literally opened this up with the good faith that it would be okay by now. What was that like for you this time last year? Were you guys thinking, oh, no, we're not going to do it. Let's not sign the lease?
Honestly, I mean, it was scary. Just last year on this time period, trying to restructure our current shop, our first shop, and then taking on the idea of, you know, let's try to expand. And with the pandemic, it was kind of I mean, it's definitely scary, but we just have the faith of, you know, let's go with it. Let's try it out. If we don't do it now, then when are we going to do it?
It was a really good decision because, as it turned out, you managed to get all your work done while there wasn't very much else happening around. Although, correct me if I'm wrong, donuts are sort of recession-proof, aren't they? Because your store, your first store all through the pandemic, was a perfect model for people just to walk in, pick up, and leave. My theory about donuts is if you're feeling kind of down and depressed, they really help you feel better. And if you're feeling really happy and joyful, who wouldn't want to eat a donut?
Yeah, if you could see my body, believe me, I've been partaking in the donuts a lot. But yeah, I mean, when we when the whole pandemic came about, you know, obviously we lost a bunch of people. Came out and gave us so much support, and you know, the support local is really it's a real thing. Without the community, without the locals down here, we wouldn't be able to do it. And we transitioned to a lot of online orders, Flight Squad, Uber Eats, but at the end of the day, the community is what kept us going, and they actually showed so much faith in us that we decided, let's take this next step and let's go for it.
Now, you opened up quietly. Well, I popped in last week, and you looked like you guys had just opened. Have you just been open for a week or so?
Because of training the staff, at the new shop, we more things on the menu than we did at the previous shop. So we have breakfast sandwiches. We have a bigger drink menu, and we're actually going to roll out some more dessert ideas. But because of that, we wanted to take it slow and not, you know, media blast everything and kind of swamp the employees. So now that they got their bearings, you know, we're having our grand opening this Saturday, and we're going to start the media blast and kind of send them to the wolves, I guess you could say.
Well, honestly, Breon, if that was a soft opening, when I was there, the line was already out the door. I mean, it hasn't taken long for word to spread that you guys are open in a brand new, beautiful location. I have to say, the decor inside is so whimsical and so fun. Who does that for you? Is that you guys, or do you employ a local artist?
Well, both Nick and I, we can't draw to save our lives at all. But we brought on two of the artists that did our previous shop. One of his name is Rick, and the other is Mark. They're both local artists, and we kind of had an idea of what we wanted. And with this shop, we wanted to take it over the top and just go all out. And you know, we gave them an idea, and they just ran with it, and you know, it just happened to be what it is now. And definitely so stoked on what they did and what they're capable of. And you know, even without Joel, you know, being by our side and taking us under our wing, we wouldn't be able to do we wouldn't be at where we're at right now. So you know, thank you so much to Joel, and she's amazing. Anybody listening, please call her.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Actually, it was my pleasure, a pleasure to help you do what you want to do and find that great space. And for anyone who's wondering, what does the artwork look like? What are we talking about? It's just the most beautiful, joy-filled paintings on the walls of unicorns and all kinds of just gorgeous, fun, colorful things that really reflect your donuts, right? I mean, you've got your donut ideas are on the wall in this beautiful artwork, and then people can see the process of the donuts being prepared and being made. And as you say, you're open now for breakfast, or from Saturday on your official opening, breakfast through. Now, you guys are staying open a little bit later, aren't you, to do kind of a dessert later night thing?
Yeah, so we're open from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day. And we're trying to hit more of a dessert menu. We have some things in the works right now. We haven't rolled them out yet, but hopefully in the near future, we're doing some a la mode, so adding some ice cream, some toppings, maybe working with some, you know, miniature donuts and doing a little bundle deal. But yeah, I mean, with this new spot, there's a lot more that we can offer, and we have a lot more people that are actually being able to try us out now that we're, you know, now that we're at that spot. So we're super excited about that.
Yeah, you should be. I think people are going to love you. For anybody who wants to know, we'll remind you that Purvey Donuts are now open at the new Chrono Marketplace, which is right opposite Kahala Mall, where that big Foodland is. You'll find them easily. There's good parking. It's easy to access, and they are an awesome donut store. Breon, I'm so happy for you guys. Answer me this question. You know, when you have kids, like your first baby is okay, and then you have your second baby, and it's like you have five children. You're just like so disorganized. And then by the time you have your third one, it gets easier. Is your second shop like that? Do you feel like you have like five shops all of a sudden?
Well, I have four children myself, and now the two shops. So, that sleep thing is right out the door. Honestly, that was our biggest fear is, you know, we don't want to take away from the first shop. That's our baby, and that's what kind of set the tone for our idea. So in transition to the second shop, we made sure that, you know, we took some staff from the first one and just made sure that our second one, our first one is still the same vibe, the same feeling. And in all honesty, when we opened the second one, the first one kind of took off again. People were, you know, coming down and supporting the first one, and the second one is more of newer customers, and you know, so it's been kind of
That's the amazing thing that happens when you get more visibility. People start to go, "Oh yeah, they have one on Kona Street too," and that's how it works.
Yeah.
Well, good job.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I'm going to encourage everyone to come down and see you guys this weekend for a wonderful taste of the most amazing donuts in beautiful bite-sized pieces. I can't imagine there's anyone in your family or amongst your friends or co-workers who wouldn't appreciate a box of the beautiful Purvey donuts. Breon, thank you so much. We'll see you guys soon.
Thank you so much, Joe and Titus. Thank you. I appreciate everything, you guys. Have a great day and be safe.
Take care. Thank you. That's Breon Zablan. He and his partner, Nick Kermaford, have opened up their second Purvey Donuts at Kahala Ku'ono Marketplace. And they are going to do fantastic. Go and see them. Honestly, it's a fun trip. If you have the kids, take them in. It's a lovely little store to take children into. It's just full of whimsy and beautiful smells, and they can see donuts being made, and it's just a delight. So make that an activity this weekend if you can. Right now, we're going to go and take a short break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus.
You're listening to Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu, 92.7 FM and 1420 AM.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to Radio Mojo Plus. I hope that your Thursday morning is going really well. It will go even better with a box of locally made donuts. I can assure you of that, especially from just such a lovely owners. I mean, really, it's such a pleasure to be able to support local merchants, local chefs, local food providers, and then when they are so incredibly lovely, it just makes it a no-brainer. And they really have, Purvey have really benefited from true local support, which, you know, just always brings me back to thinking, Bobby, that, you know, as you know, I'm very passionate about neighborhood stores and local businesses being in neighborhoods and part of neighborhoods, and not to say that we don't all enjoy going to a big box store once in a while, of course, but the power that you have as someone buying and using your spending dollars in a local store with a local business, it's just really a strong thing. You know, I've always believed in it. I think it's because I grew up in a tiny, tiny, tiny little fishing village where everybody depended upon everyone else. You know, you generated your own economy in the village, and I think I just always have had that in me that there's nothing I love more than neighborhood restaurants. That just makes me very happy.
You know, I grew up in, well, as you know, in Long Island, in New York, where there was, every town had its deli, or a couple of delis, mm-hmm. and a couple of pizza places.
Yeah.
Where it, like, nothing, I don't have anything against chains. I mean,
sure,
nothing against them. It's just that my heart mm-hmm. is with mom and pops, with local, you know, community places. Right. Yeah, I used to kid you about the George. You're hurting me, George. The German couple.
Right,
and they
were,
it was a very small area behind the counter. And he was a big guy. He was always bumping into her. She's like, "You're hurting me, George." We would.
And they had a deli.
They owned a deli. We were always forever imitating them, her especially. It was hilarious.
But that's what's lovely, isn't it? You get to know. It's like we were talking to Neil Kett from Femme du Boulangerie a couple of weeks ago, the baker up there in Manoa. You know, he's been there for 20-something years. I mean, he is like, people just love him. He's their baker.
No question. That's how it works.
That's how it works. And it's how, hopefully, I think there's a return to that. I think we're seeing more and more people just appreciating and wanting neighborhoods. But, you know, they need to be given a chance.
Yep.
Local restaurants, local chefs need to be given a chance to open in neighborhoods at a price that they can afford so that people can come and support them. So it's good right now. There's a lot of good things happening. Next week it's Easter, believe it or not. I think it's Easter Sunday next Sunday. So next week what we'll do is, while lots of places are open, thank goodness, unlike last year.
What's the date? Is that date in March?
April 4th, I think.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
It's the 4th of April. I think that's next week. I might be wrong, but I couldn't possibly be, surely. So that's, yeah, next week we'll give you, there will be lots of takeout. This is one of the benefits of having gone through so much change in the restaurant industry. I do think people who started to do great takeout meals are going to continue. So if you want to have Easter lunch or brunch at home with your friends and family, there will be a lot of options for you next week, and we will try and bring you some of the best. There's something just so lovely about Easter brunch. Those two words just bring hope and optimism, don't they? When you think about Easter brunch, you can't think about anything but you know, beautiful food and spring on its way. Thank you all for joining us this morning. It's a very exciting weekend for sports, so I hope there's no more upsets in your loser bracket, or sorry, your second bracket. We'll find out next week. I'm Jo McGarry. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll see you next time on Radio Mojo Plus.
Radio Mojo Plus on ESPN Honolulu was brought to you by Pieology Pizzeria and by Southern Glazier's Wines and Spirits, proud supporters of the food and beverage industry in Hawaii.